Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty, Father and Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, what a blessed privilege it is to come together as a community, realizing that it's you who've called us together. You've been holding us together in our love, in your love while we grow, and you who feed us on your word. May your word come to life in each of us tonight, Lord. May we listen open-minded, open-hearted, and willing to receive what it is that you would have us know, to live the lives that you'd have us live, that we might fulfill your dream of what a human being might be, that we might complete the longings in our own hearts, and that we might serve the needs of our sisters and brothers with whom we share this beautiful planet. What a gift it is to now listen to your first word in the silence. In Christ we pray this. Amen.
Staying in that place of deep rest, we'll now rest with God and His Word. So I invite you to just keep your minds open and relaxed and listen with the ear of the heart to what we'll be reading on this, the second week of Easter. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The high priest rose up, and all of his companions, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, laid hands upon the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, "Go, take your place in the temple area, and tell the people everything about this life." When they heard this, they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. When the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. But the court officers who went did not find them in prison, so they came back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked and the guards stationed outside the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were at a loss about them as to what this would come to. Then someone came in and reported to them, "The men whom you put in prison are in the temple area and are teaching the people." Then the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm is 34, and the response, "The Lord hears the cry of the poor." The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, that your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Alleluia, alleluia. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works may not be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We read this text. We always like to read it the day before, so it soaks in. We get to sleep on it overnight. I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to tell that beautiful story of what happened to me about this scripture. Well, don't you know, today one person came in and they said they had an issue with this scripture. Then later on, another person came in who had an issue with the same scripture, but in reverse. So let's see if we can unfold this a little bit and wonder and marvel at the goodness of the Lord. There are some words that actually can be used to mean exactly the opposite thing. One of them, like, all. It could mean that's all there is, or it could mean that's all there is. Or it could mean all, like that black stuff that comes up out of the ground and makes Texas rich. I couldn't wait to say that. There's another one. It's only. And boy, this one used to drive me crazy. John 3:16. For God's fullness, probably that along with the 23rd Psalm, first thing I learned to say in church, got up in front of the church. For God so loved the world that he sent, you know, all these four-year-olds, only begotten Son, he surely. And that was that. Well, you know, when I got to be an adult, and when East started practicing Eastern teachings, living for that, oneness came into my life. And I began to see the oneness everywhere. I couldn't single out a piece anymore and pretend it wasn't part of the whole. And that scripture really bugged me, because to make Christianity exclusive only for these people, it seems backwards to me. It wasn't like, that's not what happened. That's not the truth. But I prayed about that, and every now and then God just shows what a trickster he is. I prayed to be shown, what is that? You know, what about that? God said, when you say only, what you mean is only. And when I say only, what I mean is only. That's all there is. So, when I went to the Parliament of World Religions in 1999, I think it was, or 98, with Brother Wayne, I met animists, and I met people of, I mean, you can't imagine the religions that I didn't even know existed. And I talked to these people, we were with them. On the plane on the way back, I sat next to a physician who was from Italy. And he had left a very rich and prosperous practice to come and live in the States, and because he didn't want to do the business of medicine anymore. It was just too business. And he moved to a town near Dallas, where oftentimes the only payment people could offer him was a chicken or some vegetables from their garden, and he was in Dr. Heaven. But he was really, really ticked off at Christianity. And when he found that his seatmate was a pastor, a Christian minister, well, wasn't he just delighted to finally get that axe out and grind it? What about this only business? And I waited till he was done. And I told him about my prayerful engagement with that text and how God had told me only. And this guy was quiet for a moment. And his jaw dropped. He said, I think I came all the way to South Africa just to hear that. To be set free from the idea that Christianity is exclusive. So, a person came in to talk today about that very issue and had the same issue with it I did, that it made Christianity sound shut down and small. And when they heard my explanation, they were just really happy. And we celebrated the goodness of it all together. But later on, there was a person coming in who had come to the church a couple times with their one of their daughter. And I was warned that this is a cult. That this person was coming in to acquaint me with the fact that we were in a cult. And so they came in and sat down. I was delighted to see them. This woman was a pastor's wife and growing up in church like I did, Baptist church like I did. And so she had this whole list. She'd been on the internet, found out for sure we're a cult, because you know if you read it there, it's for sure. And I told her, well, I'm really glad to find us listed there, because you know you're known well by your enemies and those who don't like you as much as you are by your friends. So I think that puts us in some good company, because all down through Christian history, nobody has agreed on what Christianity is. So sects break into subsects of subsects, and then they're cults. Cult, it's like a pejorative word. So this lady and I began our discussion. She said she saw Buddhist prayer flags in our teen room. What are you teaching your children, Buddhism? And then she looked up and she saw my shelves. Shiva Nataraja, Avalokiteshvara, the Dalai Lama's Buddha figure, a lingam, a Shiva lingam, a couple of other Shivas, a big Buddhist figure. And then, of course, the Kuan Yin head right behind where she was sitting. And she said, you're going to tell me all this is here and you have it out in the open, you're not a cult. So we got down to John 3:16. And she didn't quite buy my explanation. So I recited to her the beginning or the prologue of John's Gospel. And I think it would be good for us to review that together tonight. Because a lot of people have this image of a distant relative by marriage who is one of those people that sits in the end zone at football games, John 3:16, you know. So what I read, in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all that came to be came through him, and nothing that was came to be without him. And the word without there indicates outside of him. That word was the light that lights all men, and he was coming into the world. But the world, though it owed its existence to him, did not recognize him. And so we have it stated there in John's prologue, and in the 3:16 to 20 that we read tonight, that the Son of God is light, not is enlightened, not carries some light. The only begotten Son of God is light, and everything comes from light and is made of light. This room is light. We're light. Our cups are light. The table's light. Everything is a play of light that comes from the center of creation and the Big Bang. Whoa. Let there be light. And there was light. And the Son of God is light. And that light or that consciousness came into the world that the world might know and believe that there's more to us than our physical bodies, that the spirit that moves through us does so by moving the light in our consciousness. It lets us see other human beings with light. It lets us understand that light is the matrix of everything that has a form, that appears for a while and then disappears again. There is only light. All that is light, and light is all there is. And so when we get funny about, oh, there's Jesus, and he's not here right now, but if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be enlightened, well, it's just not the truth. You can believe that Jesus existed. You can believe all kinds of things, as this person did. But one thing you can't do is make your belief turn into a feeling. The feeling of presence, the feeling of being made of light, being called by light, being lifted from a state of darkness or unconsciousness into a state of light. But that's what happens. And as we talked, I could see this woman's face getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And as we finished our time together, she pronounced me a Christian. Even though I had all these Shiva things and Buddha things. She said, well, you are a Christian. I said, well, of course, Christ embraces the whole world, whether people know him by that name. Here's a little Jesus, one man, and there's Christ. And she said, well, don't you believe in Jesus? I said, well, then what about this text? I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in the Father. Now, the only way I know you is by letting the light of your presence come into the light of my consciousness and know you're there. You're in me. I couldn't know you if it weren't for the light of consciousness. And you couldn't know me because I'm in your consciousness and I'm of your consciousness, and we're all creations of the light. And that light is life. Now, in John 18, it says, bad men hate the light, for fear their evil deeds will be shown up. Boy, I used to ponder that one and pray it too. And then I realized that it's not talking about guys that are out stealing car stereos at dark. It's talking about those parts of me that are less than whole yet, that have not yet received and lived the truth that you're free, that you're okay. Those parts live in the darkness of unconsciousness. And they don't want to come up and be seen by consciousness. They don't want to come up and bear the light because they know they're not going to do that anymore. My food abuse issues, alcohol issues, they did not want to be seen. They worked very well out of the darkness, and they stayed in business by staying in my unconscious. But when consciousness came, when light came into my world, and the only begotten Son landed in my consciousness, and I began to see Christ in others as well. The light that enlightens all men had come into my world, and it had shown me the dark places in myself, and is still showing them to me, where things still come up that didn't want to be seen before. Maybe I couldn't handle it before. Maybe it wasn't time. There's much, he said, that I could tell you, but you couldn't bear it just now. He's very kind that way, because we just suddenly tore back the curtains and showed the wizard. I don't know if I could have taken it. I was not a very kind person. But today the light shone in my office in the face of a smiling woman who came in to accuse a cult and who left a friend in Christ. The light did that work. The light showed all of us the way. And the light healed us of these kind of boxy separations that have an in-group and an out-group. And what I left with her and me too was that his light came to make us one again. He came to gather the whole world back into an awareness of singularity or oneness. And no matter what Christian doctrine you hold, or that person held, or somebody else held, that's just one of the infinite ways there are to see Christ, to realize the only begotten Son is not a man. Everything comes from light. And God created light. Let there be light. And all the rest is an elaboration of that light. And when we return home, we'll return to the light. We're just sojourners in this little world. We're strangers in a strange land going through a human experience. But please understand that what we see in the mirror is not what we are. We're conscious light, having a human experience and learning as best we can through the circumstances of our lives how to honor that light that is creating and blessing and loving everybody in the whole world right now, no matter what their verbal profession of faith. Christianity is broken into thousands, literally thousands of tiny fragments, each one thinking, well, we've got the Bible right. We've got it right. No. Nobody's got it right until our hearts are converted to love. Until we actually love the light that is appearing as the seeming other. Until we allow that other to look at us and to see us in our naked humanity, our smallness and our helplessness, our need for the help of that light. Because, friends, you know this as well as I do. This light is not inert. This light is not just falling on things. This light is life itself. It is alive. It is conscious, it is intelligent, it is gifting, it is healing, it is restoring. It's all the things we want it to be. Now, if we have yet to realize that fully, perhaps it's because there are parts of us that don't want to be in the light yet, that don't want to be conscious yet. It might be too shocking. It might be too much responsibility for us to be as beautiful as we are, to live out Christ's beauty in public, by loving and dancing with life, by participating in the enlightenment of the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The form that we occupy is going to perish, but our identity as spiritual beings of light can never go away. Every Easter we sing it again, and I wait every year for that to come again. We shall never die. We shall never, ever die. Because the light in us is eternal life. The light in us is conscious life. The light in us is the way, and it is the truth or reality, and it can do amazing things. And my experience with it is that it likes us. It's very kind, and it can do what it wants to. Amen. Peace and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.